Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author, and host of the Natural Healing Show here at UK Health Radio. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com. And unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Feather Jones. Feather Jones is a registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild. She also runs an herbal apprenticeship program. And you can find out more about Feather Jones and her wonderful work at CanyonSpiritVentures.com. Welcome, Feather Jones.
Hi, thank you so much, Catherine.
So we're going to be talking today about how herbs can help us with our anti-aging process. So Feather Jones, I understand you have more than 40 years experience as a registered herbalist. What is the difference between herbal approaches to health versus allopathic approaches?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Herbal approaches are basically nature cure approaches. So when we talk about doing herbs for different issues, we're talking about strengthening the body, realigning it, reinforcing it. And we don't just do that with just herbs. Herbs is just one part of an equation. There's diet, there's nutrition, there's exercise, there's lifestyle that all is a part of supporting the body to be resilient and regenerative. And without all those things together, herbs can work somewhat, but sometimes it's like swimming upstream. It's a little bit harder to do with plants if you don't make the changes you need to make. So herbal medicine is about individuals taking the responsibility for their health, more so than allopathic medicine or conventional Western medicine of that's more drug, doctor-oriented, drug-oriented, which is basically looking at disease and how to fix a leaky roof when it's raining. It's more about drugs, many times suppressing symptoms. And that's usually something that I don't think is necessary. I'm not going to say all the time because, allopathic medicine and drugs have their place. You know, antibiotics save lives. So I'm not against that. I'm against the overuse. When many times, if a person would just pay attention to the decisions that they're making that brought them to that point, it could have prevented that. So it's just, I'm not trying to make it a one-sided picture. So, but healthy lifestyle, diet, you know, all those things are going to prevent a lot of health illnesses, hospital stays and things like that. So just because a drug is lifespan extending doesn't necessarily mean it's a healthy lifestyle or it's healthy.
So Feather Jones, this is exactly what our listeners are very familiar with here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. So how can herbs empower us to prevent or mitigate the effects of our aging process?
That's such a loaded question. I guess I don't think of it so much as anti-aging as much as graceful aging. How do we gracefully healthy body age? How do we do that? And I'm going to talk about all of the herbs that I had mentioned earlier that I'm willing to share. But for graceful aging, you know, again, herbs are just one part of that whole initiative with lifestyle choices, mindset, because we know that everything that we're thinking, emotion, feeling, stressing ourselves with eventually becomes in the body, eventually becomes a part of the body. And there's You can't think something, not have it be an effect somewhere in the body. So stress creates inflammation. It suppresses the immune response, all those things. So that's why it's so important to look at things equally. But you can't really expect herbs to prevent aging. Like I said, if you're eating at like fast food places regularly, it's not going to work that way. And but eating a good healthy diet of fresh, raw and steamed vegetables, dark leafy greens, high quality protein, whether it's vegan or it's meat, animal products, whole grains, and all of that, and pure clean water, and all of that to be as organic as possible when you're trying to heal someone of something. That's probably what the best thing that you can do for yourself. And
All
then
right. So
the
if I
herbs are
didn't.
going to provide those essential positive benefits.
Yes. So again, our listeners are very familiar with everything. They're not newbies. They understand the basics of what you have just shared. So let's get into the weeds and talk about specific herbs that are beneficial. So I'll be 67 in March. Everything's real except for the tinsel in my hair and my
Oh, I
lipstick.
didn't see that. That's cool.
I love that. Fairy hair. So what are the health benefits of ginseng? Let's start by talking about ginseng. How can
Okay.
ginseng help us?
Ginseng, well, there's several different types of ginsengs. There's American ginseng, woods-grown ginseng. There's a Siberian ginseng. It's called Eleuthero, Eleutherococcus synticosus, Eleuthero. And then there's processed ginseng, Korean ginseng, Chinese ginseng, Noto ginseng. They're all slightly different, but they all have one thing in common, is that they affect what's called the HPA axis. That's the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. And the hypothalamus is the master facilitator in the body and sends out messages to all the other systems on how to behave. So it's regulated, though, by, of all things, emotions and feelings and responses and how we interpret different events. That's all ruled. And so when we're happy and when we're joyful and when we're stress-free, our bodies will respond that way too. But most people don't live in a 24-hour joyful place. So the body becomes stressed out from that. And what that axis does is it creates the how the metabolism runs in the body. So it's going to make those decisions on what hormones to secrete. It's going to make the decisions on how fast or slow your heart rate is, your blood pressure, what systems are getting oxygen and nutrients and which ones aren't. So when you're in adrenal mode or stress mode, what happens? You drink a cup of coffee and you sit down at the computer or whatever, and you kind of kick in a little bit of norepinephrine. Epinephrine gets going. You got some adrenaline in your system, which was originally meant for running from the saber-toothed tiger, right? You're supposed to be able to climb trees and all of that, but we don't do that. So that puts a lot of stress on the body over and over and over. And when we talk about, I'll talk about adaptogens at some point, but there's short-term stress and there's long-term stress.
So let's talk about ginseng. So how does
So ginseng
ginseng help
affects
us?
the HPA axis.
Right.
It will reset the metabolism in the body. So if you're in stress mode, it puts you back in balance. That's one of the main things it does. American ginseng is cooling, so it's better for someone who metabolically runs hot, meaning their metabolism is a little fast. They might have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, triglycerides, LDLs, things like that. And then the hotter ginsengs, Chinese ginseng, Noto ginseng, Korean ginsengs, those are warming, and those might be better for people who run cold. So menopausal women, postmenopausal elders, men and women both, could probably benefit from a little bit of warming ginseng. It just kind of gets your circulation going and has some steroidal impact to it. So, yeah.
Now, let's talk about go-to cola. And you're an herbalist. Are there other names for go-to cola that people might find when they're going to look for herbs?
Go-to cola, it shares a common name with another plant called bacopa, and they're both called Brahmi. But go-to cola is very specific in its action. It has a high mineral content in there, so like copper and calcium and magnesium, pangamic acid, and all those things that's like nutrients for transport. So they basically feed the brain. Go-to cola sends oxygen, nutrients, blood supply to the brain. So there is a ceremony that they do in Nepal the first day of spring. School children are given a sprig of go-to cola in a ceremony because it helps them to retain what they're learning. It helps with memory, focus, concentration, recall, all those things, and creative thinking. So go-to cola is one of my favorite herbs, and it's also a food too. So I get mine from Hawaii fresh overnight, and it becomes salad and other things too. But it's just so high in glutamic glutamine, which is kind of a blood-brain barrier. It moves through, so it has a tonic, cerebral tonic kind of an action to it. It's a great.
So,
Oh, and the other thing about it, just real quick, is that it also stimulates collagen repair and regeneration. So collagen is in every tissue, every organ in our body, and it's what helps support the skin so that it keeps the skin nice and soft, not flaky, rough like in your elbows and the back of your heels. That gets kind of rough in there. What collagen does, something to support collagen, like go-to cola, will make those areas nice and smooth. So,
So Feather
smooth
Judge,
and elastic.
I've never heard of anyone actually eating go-to cola as a food. So, and you mentioned you get go-to cola
Yes,
from the Hawaii.
even oil and vinegar is delicious. It is salad, really. It's a salad. But I make an oil for a massage oil, and I make a tincture, fresh plant tincture, to have that for making formulas.
So you make an oil of go-to cola?
Yes, I do.
So, how do you prepare an oil of go-to cola?
Well, I just, instead of putting in an alcohol for a tincture, I put it into olive oil. And if it's for my own personal use, I put it in jojoba oil. Jojoba is more expensive, so I usually can't just like give that away. But olive oil does just fine. And it becomes like a massage oil. And you let it sit for a couple of weeks. And I know you wanted me to talk about how to prepare things.
Yes.
Fresh plant oils, usually they sit for a couple of weeks. And you don't have a lid on them because they're fresh. And if you take the lid off, it's going to go psh, like that. But I usually put like a little paper towel over the top and for fresh plant oils, and let them sit for a couple of weeks and then strain it out, and you have this beautiful emerald green colored oil, and I keep it in the refrigerator.
All right. Now, one of my favorites for anti-aging is turmeric. What are the health benefits of turmeric? And turmeric is definitely one that we can eat and include in our food as a
Yes.
spice.
Right. This is Ayurvedic staple. This is one of the main herbs in Ayurvedic medicine. So turmeric has the ability to help support length and lengthen telomeres in the brain, which is what we need for memory recall. We're finding that as our brains age, and what before it gets to Alzheimer's, you start forgetting things and forgetting names of things, and you can't quite say exactly what it is you want to say. Telomeres are breaking down up in there, and there's scaffolding is kind of falling apart a little bit. So turmeric, as an antioxidant, as an anti-inflammatory, nootropic, helps the brain lengthen telomeres and keep them strong. So turmeric is good for all body systems, really, as an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. My dog takes turmeric. He's 11, and I need to keep his joints nice and healthy. I take turmeric every night before I go to bed.
Yes. Now, I know that when I was making fresh juice, a fresh juice that I would make, I would get a fresh turmeric root from the health food store and make a juice of it with carrots and fresh oranges. And that's a lovely way to include turmeric in your diet. And then lots of people make golden milk from turmeric, right?
Right.
But I found from personal experience, if you eat too much turmeric, it makes you nauseous. So when people are trying to find the right dose of turmeric for their Jones, how do you recommend people finding the right dose of turmeric?
Well, it's your dosage depends on how much you weigh. Most dosages, if you're buying it in the store in like a bottle, like they've got turmeric shots over here. We have turmeric shots. You can just like an ounce down it. There's usually dosage written on bottles, but as far as making your own turmeric, juicing it, is that what you said? You juice it? Well, you're putting other herbs in there too, in foods. So I don't know what percentages you are using of turmeric, so I can't totally answer that. But most dosages on things are meant for a 150-pound person. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you're going to do two-thirds, right? So it just depends upon how much you weigh. So, but yeah, stay below that threshold. If you start to get nauseous, obviously that's too much. And I haven't heard of it's a spice, you know, you don't do tons of it. That would be like anything else. You don't do tons of salt or black pepper or anything else. But yeah, turmeric is excellent in the right dosages. So.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to registered herbalist Feather Jones talk about herbs for anti-aging. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Feather Jones. So far we've been talking about herbs that we can actually eat or consume, such as our turmeric. What about the health benefits of ginger, which again, I buy crystallized ginger and eat it raw. So, what are the health benefits of ginger?
Well, one of the things is it's anti-nauseous. So if
Yeah.
you mix your ginger with your turmeric, you'd have a better, easier time of it without getting nauseous. But ginger has a long history of being used in first trimester pregnancy as to prevent morning sickness. And I don't know who made up that word because it's all day long. Having 2 kids, that I don't know. But anyway, ginger is anti-inflammatory. I love fresh ginger tea. I'm just grating up ginger and put it in hot water. If I'm going to make like a couple cups, so I'm going to make about 16 ounces, I'll probably grate a piece of ginger this big and put that in there and cook it for about 10, 15 minutes. Then turn it off, leave the lid on, and let it sit for another 20 minutes. And then strain it and put in a little bit of honey. I like honey. And I can blend that in chai. I can drink it by itself. I can put it in any other types of herbal teas that I want, where I want that little bit of heat because it's stimulating circulation. Anti-inflammatory, stimulating circulation, scrubbing at cholesterol deposits in the cardiovascular system. I mean, it's a big long list with ginger. And I don't know too many people that have any sensitivities to ginger. Unless you, again, you overdo it, which
Unless
I
you overdo it.
can. But
Yes.
you can overdo water, right? It's called drowning. So anything that's got limits to it.
Well said. So, and again, as you said, ginger is really helpful for any kind of nausea. So it's a real natural healing remedy for the stomach.
I think they make a patch for like motion sickness, ginger patches that you can take on board with you when you go for a long sea venture.
Now let's talk about the health benefits of rosemary. And rosemary is so easy to grow in our gardens. What are the health benefits of rosemary?
Rosemary likes that Mediterranean environment in Sedona, where I lived for over 20 years, that it was easy to grow. But rosemary is called the herb of remembrance because it will help you. Again, it's antioxidant, drives all of those all the blood, all the nutrients, oxygen, everything that the brain needs. It just sends it up there. So, and it relaxes. It's great for certain types of headaches. But I love just smelling rosemary leaf. We have one outside too. And I just take up an edge. And when I'm teaching my classes, I'll just sniff a little bit of it because it just opens you up. And when you're smelling rosemary, like rosemary essential oil, what are you doing? You're breathing deep, getting more oxygen in blood to your entire body. So, rosemary, long history of being used for any types of memory recall issues, mental fog stuff. So
So helpful for your brain function. Now, last year I visited Costa Rica and I worked for about a week with a master acupuncturist. And when I was done, he recommended faux tea. What are the health benefits of faux tea?
I don't use fo tea. I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Some Chinese medicine, they're rethinking about how safe it is, so I don't know.
Okay, not your area.
Mm-mm.
So tell us about the health benefits of ashwagandha.
Oh, ashwagandha, I love that one too. Ashwagandha has a long history of being called a neuroprotective. So it protects the nervous system. It's rejuvenating. It has some very pronounced effects on the adrenals. If you're the type of person that is always stressing out, you're pumping a lot of cortisol into your systems. It helps to balance some of that because stress pathway is cortisol. So it makes it good for adrenal fatigue. Also, it triggers long-term changes in neural synapses that's involved in learning and memory. I like it because it's relaxing. It does have some thyroid stimulating activity. So if you are hyperthyroid, this is not your herb. If you are regular or hypothyroid, this is a really good herb for you. I take it every evening. I'll show you. At night, it's sitting right next to my bed when I go to sleep at night. And this is an electuary, which means it's just basically ashwagandha and honey. And I just dip my finger in there, but you can use a spoon. And just take just a big dollop of it before going to bed. And I sleep soundly. I sleep better. I love doing goticola in the evenings too, because it helps with dream recall. So those together are really, really nice. But it does have that ability to kind of reset the metabolism too. A lot of these adaptogens do. That's what they're doing, helping the body to adapt to stress. And ashwagandha is a very classic example of a good adaptogen.
The phytogens, as you know, so many people have trouble sleeping. How do you prepare your nighttime preparation of ashwagandha and honey?
It's just ashwagandha powder. I buy organic ashwagandha powder. And then probably 2 to 3 times the amount of honey, because it's a starchy powder. So as soon as you put it in honey, it looks very goopy. But if you let it sit for 10 minutes, it's going to get thicker and thicker. So you want to make sure that you can actually put your spoon in there and get out a half a teaspoon and take it at night before going to bed.
So the ratio is 3 parts.
Yeah, 1 part herb to at least 2 parts honey, maybe more. Okay. Depends on how thick you want it.
And how long will that last? Do you have it beside your bed, so you don't need to refrigerate it?
No, not with honey. Honey is a natural preservative. If you use sugar or maple syrup or anything else, it's going to go bad. But honey naturally preserves things, so you're good there.
Now, as you know, dosages is so important. So if someone were to make an herbal preparation of 1 part ashwagandha powder with 2 parts honey, what sort of dosage would you recommend for someone to help them sleep better?
Probably, well, again, if they're a 150-pound person, then maybe a half a teaspoon.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't need a lot. If you're bigger, then a little more. Smaller, a little less. But it's going to be, how stressed out are you? How much do you need to really reach that level of deep sleep? If I forget to take it, I'm kind of up and I wake up a lot and I'm still thinking about things that I have to do and working through stuff. But if I do my ashwagandha, it's like, okay, that stops that.
Great information. Now, phytogens, I know that you have over 40 years experience as an herbalist, and you run an herbal apprenticeship program. Tell us about your herbal apprenticeship program. What is it? Is it in person, online? What do you teach people?
Well, it's a hybrid program. So a lot of it is online, and we just started class. So if anyone is interested, there's still time to join for this year. It's 11 months. So it's takes you from beginner to, or advanced beginner to that next level. And I do go into it in great detail. We do a lot of herbal monographs. And then there's a 4-day field trip with it to Sedona, Arizona, where you meet mountain and desert plants. And you have an opportunity to create your own herbal pharmacies. We harvest. We learned how to harvest mindfully and make medicines, and what those herbs are good for, and how you would dispense them, and how you use them, and what the very specifics are and the characters of the plants to make sure you get the right herb for the right person. So that's a year-long program, and you can find that on my website. So,
which is canyonspiritventures.com. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your information. And this is part of why I interview people like yourself for the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, because there's wonderful people all over the world really working hard, putting their heart and soul into making a difference for others. And so now, can you share for us, what are some simple ways to make herbal preparations?
Okay, well, one that I do pretty much regularly, almost every day, is I'll make herbal teas. And I make infusions. So what I have is alfalfa, which has got every vitamin, mineral, essential enzyme known to humankind in there, and dried herb and nettles, dried herb, which helps to build blood and increase elasticity in your body. And I put spearmint in there and raspberry. So I'll take a big half gallon glass jar. It's usually like a canning jar because they won't break, right? And fill it about 1/5 of the way with herb, a combination of herbs that you want. And then you pour hot boiling water up to the top, put your lid on, and let it sit for about 8 hours. That's the difference between dunking your celestial seasoning tea bags versus something that's going to be much more medicinal. It's going to pull out more nutrients, more minerals, more enzymes, more amino acids. So you're going to get a much deeper healing from that type of. So I'll do it at night before I go to bed, and I will take it out in the morning first thing, strain it, put it in the refrigerator, and that's my tea. My kids grew up that way. That went into their water bottles to go to school.
So that's so wonderful. Now, some of us are going to want to learn how to make our own herbal preparations, such as you teach in your apprenticeship program. Others of us are busy doing our other jobs, and we want to purchase high-quality herbs. So here in the U.S., I am a big fan of Herb Farm, it's spelled P-H-A-R-M. And then for decades, I've used alchemically processed herbs from alchemy.com. And that's A-L-K-E-M-I.com. So they're incredible herbs. Are there any reliable herb suppliers in the U.S. and U.K. and worldwide that you recommend for your...
I don't know about worldwide right now. I don't know that. But Oshala Farms in Applegate Valley in Oregon, they grow a lot of herbs. They're all organically grown, or they all have ethically harvested, wild harvested plants available, but it's all dried herbs. Now, all Herb Farm does is give you tinctures, some salves, a few syrups, but they don't do dried herbs for making teas. So I like that. Oshala Farms. There's a lot of great places, but that's a good one.
So how do you, for our listeners, how do you spell Oshala Farms?
O-S-H-A-L-A Farms in Oregon.
Fantastic. And Alchemy, I believe they're now in Northern California, but they make alchemically based herbal preparations. And they're based on alchemy, and they're quite interesting because they have remedies for the physical, remedies for the mental, and remedies for the soul. So very powerful, and I've used those for decades. Now, with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author, and we're listening to registered herbalist Feather Jones. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Feather Jones, as you know, one aspect of aging is maintaining the health of our bones. So many of us develop osteopenia or the later stages of osteoporosis. What herbs do you recommend for bone health?
Well, herbs that are high mineral herbs, like the ones that I had talked about, like alfalfa and nettles. But it's more than that. I think exercise is really crucial to bone health. It's going to prevent bone breakage and exercise, whatever that means. So working out or dancing, for me it's dancing, and running, sports, whatever, but some type of exercise, and getting up to cardio level for at least a couple of minutes on a regular basis. I think having friends is really important, joining groups of like-minded people to explore and keep your brain going and get ideas and challenges. Those are really good for you. Healthy meals.
I teach yoga for osteoporosis, and we've interviewed the medical doctor who's done scientific research about yoga for osteoporosis. So let's go back to herbs. So for bone health, you recommend alfalfa and nettles. What about horsetail for bone health?
Horsetail, yes, horsetail has a lot of silica, just like nettles does. Well, it's silic acid, which the body converts into silica. And so silica is actually converted into calcium as the body needs. They've done a lot of experiments. I don't usually talk about animal studies, but this one was okay because they just added a horsetail to a regular chicken feed. And one group and the other group didn't get it, but the group that did get it had harder eggshells. They were thicker and much more resilient and didn't break as easy. So that tells you that horsetail is really good for those mineral aspects. And the best way to get horsetail maybe would be as a tea, or you could get it as a tincture somewhat, but you don't get a bunch of nutrients as a tincture. It's more as a tea. Also, people used to eat it. I don't do that a lot. Even though it has organic silica in there, it also has inorganic, which can cause a little bit of issues. But honestly, a low protein diet is 35 to 50 grams a day is going to really help with bone density. They found that women, particularly with higher intake of animal proteins, have three times more bone loss than their vegan counterparts. So I think an essential fatty acids like the omega-3 fatty acids are going to be really important. Black cohosh is a great herb for bone health because it kind of tells the body that it has estrogen in there, and the body acts as if it does and will hold on to bone integrity. So there's quite a few things you can do.
So, how would you go about making horsetail tea? I've never heard of horsetail tea. I've heard of nettle tea for sure.
Yeah, you just put horsetail in your tea. You can buy it just like nettles. It's a dried herb, and you make sure that you strain it well when before you drink it. It's got kind of a green taste to it, just like alfalfa does. It tastes like hay, sort of.
Now, as you know, many of us, as we age, want to maintain our mental acuity. What herbs do you recommend that people turn to for mental clarity?
Well, we talked about gotu kola. That's probably one of the main ones. We talked about ginseng. Maybe astragalus is really good too. That will also help with telomere length. So that helps to hold on to memory and mental acuity. And ginkgo is another one. Ginkgo, and again, you don't want to overdo it with ginkgo because it sends so much oxygen nutrients, blood supply to the brain that it can give you ocular hemorrhaging. And I've seen that happen. So with standardized stuff, but with just taking ginkgo tincture, ginkgo gotu kola is really good. Rosemary is really good in there. So if you blended a tincture, you had those in your tincture together, that would be an excellent way to keep your brain sharp.
Now, you mentioned astragalus, which I know can also be helpful for our immune system. What are the health benefits overall of astragalus?
Well, astragalus works in a couple different ways as far as the immune system. One of the things that we know it does is it will increase stem cell production from the bone marrow. So it is a deep immune tonic. You can't go any deeper than bone marrow. That's about it. So more stem cells, and then the body decides whether stem cells are going to be red blood cells or white blood cells as the body needs. So you've got those basic building blocks. And I think liver health is just as important because the liver has to filter all the blood in the body. So I have a lot of clients that are immune depleted, but also on several different medications by the time they get to me. And so I have to be really careful what I recommend with them. But astragalus doesn't seem to have any negative benefits, which I really appreciate with astragalus.
And Feather Jones, I really appreciate you bringing that up about wanting to be very careful when we're combining herbs with medications. Now, personally, I don't take any prescription medications, but some of our audience does. What sort of precautions should people take when they're taking medications, but also wanting to turn to herbs for natural healing?
Well, the first thing I would ask them, by the time they come to me, they have a set of symptoms that they're looking for help with. And my job is to go through their list of pharmaceuticals, what are they taking, and look at the side effects. Many times I have clients with multiple therapies. They're doing drugs, they're doing herbs because somebody told them it was good, and they're doing supplements, somebody told them that was good. And so they got all this together, and it just, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times it doesn't. So it's up to me to go back through each one of the drugs and say, oh, here's the side effects of this drug taking at this level, and this is exactly what you're complaining of. So let's figure this out another way.
Yes.
A lot of herbs are not going to cause any issues at all. They're just going to help balance things out.
Right. And I'm the same as you in that I work with people to go look at that bigger picture. Here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, I did a broadcast on things to consider if you are taking medications. And there are times when you have to take medications. We want to be compassionate. For example, if you have surgery, you absolutely want to have the anesthesia and the pain medication, right?
But then stay away from ginkgo.
Yes. For a week. You want to be off all supplements for 2 weeks before you have surgery. So, but like yourself, I go through everything because sometimes some of the side effects, the discomfort that we're feeling is a side effect. And lots of people are not considering how everything's working together, whether it's the meds, the herbs, the supplements. So like you, I help people go through all of it.
Now, we call that hyperpolypharmacy.
Yes. Yes. And I know people who've gone to the emergency room from taking too many herbs. So just because it's natural doesn't mean that you can't have bad side effects from it. So, which brings me to the next question, Feather Jones, are there online resources where people can look up side effects of their herbs?
Side effects of herbs. Well, I'm not sure about that. If you are taking an herb, you should probably Google search for sure and see with your particular reason that you're taking that herb, what's too much to do. But as far, I do know about like drug interactions, herbal interactions with drugs. And there's a good book out by Francis Brinker. I think it's just herbal contraindications and drug contraindications and herbal actions. So something like that can be really good to have if you are going to be blending those two things together. And it will tell you what they see and sometimes what is just suggested or has animal studies behind it or something like that. So it will be pretty clear as to what those side effects look like.
And my advice for people who are wanting to venture into this is to start with herbs that can be used as foods, such as ginger, such as turmeric, such as rosemary. Start with the ones that you can include in your food and your juicing.
The other book is it's by the American Herb Products Association, the Botanical Safety Handbook, and that one can be accessed as well.
Fantastic information. So, Feather Jones, is there anything that you really want people all over the world to understand about using herbs for anti-aging?
Well, again, using herbs for graceful aging. Those, again, we talked about everything, just getting good sleep habits and eating right and staying away from the things you know is not good for you, and exercising, and then supplementing with herbs and supplements as needed. So, look, keep yourself healthy. And the body is self-healing. That is our goddess-given right, and it's what we do to get it out of balance. So look at your own mental health, your spiritual health, have that inner core to be able to stay in balance.
So, final question, Feather Jones, do you have a favorite herb? And if so, what is it?
Oh, that changes weekly. But I do love Gotu Kola. I do love ashwagandha. I use those herbs pretty regularly. I love milk thistle.
So tell
I'm
us,
sorry, I can't answer
it's
that
okay.
question.
So Gotu Kola, why is Gotu Kola one of your favorite herbs?
Well, because I'm 76 and I'm getting a little bit older and I want to keep my brain sharp. I don't think I'm really, if I die of something, it probably is not going to be Alzheimer. My brain's going to be with me the whole time. But I want a long, healthy life, not just a long lifespan, but a healthy lifespan. And so, doing all those things that we talked about, that's part of my routine as well.
Yeah.
If you were going to ask me what herb that people should have in their medicine cabinet, I would say echinacea.
Yes.
Antimicrobial, it's going to get rid of whatever it is that's bringing you down.
Yes, exactly. First sign of a cold, turn to echinacea. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Feather Jones. You can find out about Feather Jones and her work as a registered herbalist at canyonspiritventures.com. And remember that the herbal family and herbs from all over the world can empower you to age gracefully. And Feather, who's 76, and me, who's 66, turning 67 in about 2 months, we can definitely attest to that. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.